Hachette Audio presents Sex and the City, written by Candace Bushnell, read by Lauren Fortgang. For Peter Stevenson and Sniffy, who once bit his teddy bear, and to all my friends. Introduction. Before Sex and the City was a book and a TV series, it was a column in the New York Observer. This was in the fall of 1994, and I'll never forget the afternoon the editor-in-chief asked me if I wanted my own column. I immediately said yes, and afterwards practically skipped up Park Avenue with joy. I had no idea how I was going to pull off this column, but I was convinced that it should somehow be about me and my friends, a group of single women, all of whom seemed to have had a never-ending series of freakish and horrifying experiences with men, and sometimes with the same men. We spent hours discussing our crazy relationships and came to the conclusion that if we couldn't laugh about them, we'd probably go insane. I suppose that's why Sex and the City is such an unsentimental examination of relationships and mating habits. Although some people find its lack of sentiment and cruel humor disturbing, it's probably only because the book contains some kind of universal truth. Although the column was originally meant to pertain specifically to New York City, hence stories like The Modelizers, about two geeky guys who manage to date 18-year-old models but end up paying a price, I found that there are variants of these Sex and the City characters in most large cities around the world. I still haven't decided whether or not that's scary. But most of all, Sex and the City sets out to answer one burning question. Why are we still single? Now, with a few years' perspective on the issue, I can safely conclude that we are single because we want to be. This edition of Sex and the City contains two new chapters which were written after the book was originally published. And so, at last, the book has a real ending, in which Carrie and Mr. Big break up. It's a bittersweet ending, not just the end of Carrie's relationship with Mr. Big, but the end of her dream of finding the proverbial Mr. Big, a man who doesn't really exist. If you read closely, you'll discover that even Mr. Big himself points out that he is a fantasy in Carrie's imagination, and that you can't love a fantasy. And so, we leave Carrie to enter a new phase in her life when she understands that she will have to find herself without a man, and in doing so will hopefully be able to find a relationship. Maybe I'm not as unsentimental as I thought. Candace Bushnell. May 20.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?